walk with God. So trust that we can learn together. This is something that I feel like God has been working in my own life. See continued needs in my life in this area of just spending time in prayer with Him, and something I desire to continue to grow in. So hopefully we can learn together. Maybe before I get started, get into the message, why don't we kneel together if we can, and let's just seek the Lord. Our Father, this morning we are very grateful that we have this opportunity to gather and to hear your word. Thank you for the exhortation, the encouragement to be reading your word and to spend time with you in that way. And Father, as we also look at what your word says about prayer and our communication with you and it being our link with you, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts. Would you speak to us? Give us encouragement. Give us vision. Give us instruction where we need it. And I ask that all together, Father, we could come in seeking you just in a good way in these things, that our personal walk with you would be strong, that it would be vibrant, that we can be revived in our hearts, and that our walk with you would reflect the things that we say that you have done in our lives and that we trust and believe that you have. Help us to reflect that, Father, in our lives. So we just give this time to you, and we ask that you would be with us. Be also with those that couldn't be here today. We ask for Alfie Martha, that you would be with her. Would you grant healing there? Pray that you would be with various others that have sickness. Be with Brother Joseph. Bring healing to him. And Father, we just ask that you would bless them today, different ones wherever they're at that aren't here. So we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know what goes through your mind when you see the title that I put up there. I have a number of points here that I want to endeavor to cover here this morning. Some questions that as I was thinking about this subject, I was asking myself. First of all, what is prayer? There's one of them. Another one, these next two kind of go together, and yet they have different aspects. Another one is, how should we pray? Another one, what should our prayers consist of? So those sort of go together. When/how often should we pray? Why don't we pray? Hindrances. And what are the rewards, blessings, or benefits of a prayer life that is consistent? So anyways, we got a number of things that we'd like to look at here this morning. So just very simply, when I think of prayer, I think of communion with God. Our relationship, our communication to God. What you find in the scriptures, in the Hebrew, this is the definition from Strong's, is a primitive particle of incitement and entreaty, which may usually be rendered, I pray, or now, or then. It's added mostly to verbs or to interjections. It's occasionally added to adverb or a conjunction, like to I beseech, pray. And then in the Greek, it simply means to pray to God, to supplicate, to worship, to pray earnestly for, and to make prayer. So, a lot of just basically what we think of, it's entreating God, it's supplicating. Supplicating has the idea of earnestness and of maybe even desperation, almost a bit of desperation there. Prayer also includes worship, giving God his worth-ship, and rendering that to God. Here's a few quotes that I found that I think are sum up prayer fairly well. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from our prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. A And another one that goes right along with that is that Satan trembles when the weakest saint gets on his knees. Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. Now, you think about that one for a little bit. There's a lot in there. Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. And what I take from that is it has a lot to do with conditioning our own hearts and bringing our hearts in line with God's will. Not for what we would like to have in heaven. Yes, it pertains to that, but the focus is not there. The focus is on our hearts, first of all, being right with God. Here's another one. Prayer is the key to the morning and the bolt of the evening. Referring to that it should be a very important part of our life. In the morning, in the evening, all throughout the day. So the title I have here, I put up there, Our Link to God. And as I was sitting there, I realized that in today's age, when you hear the word link, that may mean something different to you than what it would have meant 20 or 30 years ago. 20 or 30 years ago, none of us would have thought twice about a Google link. But as I was sitting there, I realized that that actually could be a possibility here. Now, that can also fit, but not quite in the same, doesn't hold quite the illustration that I want to use here this morning. So, my reference here this morning is to a chain made up of links. I think we're familiar with those. They have individual links that connect together. And I would like to think of our walk with God as a chain. And there's numerous links that make up our walk with God. Brother Nathan talked about one of them this morning, reading our Bible, spending time in the Word. It can be studying the Bible. It could be witnessing to others. It can be church life, etc. Other relationships. Prayer is another one of those links in this chain of our walk with God. And as I was preparing, I thought about this link that I have at home from a chain that I have. And this is a weak link. This is a part of a larger chain, a much longer chain, and it's made up of many, many of these. And I used this chain for many years, and it worked great. But then a couple months ago, I really put the thing to the test, and I had seen that this link was broken. So before it was pulled open like this, it was in its original shape, but the seam where they welded it together had split. It had been under some stress and it split, and I knew it was there. And then one time I really put the thing to the test, and we put some serious stress on it, and this is what happened. It didn't come apart, but it opened up like this. So now, is that chain worth anything? It's useless. Because the link is gone. One of the links gave way. And so, while we can use portions of that chain, it still has a hook, you know, on each end of each piece, I'm going to need to put a connecting link in there to have the full use of that chain again. And I would like to suggest that our prayer life is a little bit like this. If our prayer life is weak, then there's a part of our life that's going to be not as useful. We're going to be missing out on our full potential for what God has for us. So just keep that in mind as an object lesson here for you as we go through this. All right, so let's take a little deeper look at what prayer is. There's a whole host of things we could look at, but I'm just going to try to keep it simple. Turn to Psalm 61, if you would. There's a number of different things here that we'll look at of what prayer is. I'm sure there's more. First of all, we'd like to look at abiding in God. There's several verses for that. Dwelling in the secret place, delighting in the Lord, drawing near, and sitting in heavenly places. These are all terms that we find in the Scripture. We'll just take a quick look at a few of them here. Psalm 61, we'll read, I believe it's the entire chapter, or at least through verse 8, 1 through 8. Starts out here, my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So here, first of all, he starts out asking God to hear his cry and to attend to his prayer. The word cry can also be used in conjunction with the word prayer. It would fit that definition. But then in verse 7, it says that he shall abide before God forever. And then he says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And so that could also connect with one of the points later on about how often we do find various times in the Bible that he talks about daily. So I think that would be a right thing. So abiding before God. Very familiar verses in John 15 as well. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So, talking here about a tree and a branch that needs support from the source of life. There's a trunk, and I enjoy fruit trees and orcharding and those things, and this time of year it's especially exciting to see those things coming, the life coming out. There's lots of flowers, and there's leaves, and there's all those things that we enjoy seeing. But also, in order to be successful, especially in growing fruit, there's a need for some pruning and some trimming. And so those branches that I take off, I disconnect them. And are those going to bear any fruit? They're going to die because they're not connected anymore. And so when we become disconnected, when our link gets broken with God, we begin to die because we don't have the source of life. So, how can we tell? You look at the fruit that's coming out of your life. There's a difference between knowing what is right and putting forth an effort to having those things coming out of my life. It's not wrong, but what tends to happen is we put a focus on that because we know what's right, instead of going back to the source and realizing that when our connection with God is close, those things flow out of. It becomes an automatic thing when our walk with God is close. And so sometimes I think for myself, it's good to just take a step further back. You know, we look at the fruit of our life and we're like, well, that wasn't good, so I need to change that. Or do we take that to God and say, God, there's this fruit coming out of my life. Well, I need your help to change that. Do you see the difference? There's a need for God versus seeing something in my life, and because we know, we've been well taught, we know the Bible very well, and that's a blessing. But it can also sometimes hinder us from really sensing our need for God like we ought to. So that's my point. All right, a few more things here. Dwelling in the secret place and knowing God's love. I'm not going to read all of these verses here for the sake of time, but you could go to Psalm 91, verse 1. It's a very familiar verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So there's both dwelling and abiding in that verse. 1 John 4, verse 16, if you want to write some of these down and look them up later, talks about us knowing God's love and then finding rest in that, finding a place of refuge in dwelling in God's love. Delighting in the Lord is referred to in Psalm 37, verse 4, and also in Isaiah 58, verse 14. I'm sure there's more. But I was thinking about delighting in the Lord and how that applies to our prayer life. I had to think about my relationship with my wife. I do delight in my wife, and it's a blessing to spend time with her and to communicate. And then I was thinking about my walk with God, and is it the same way? Do I delight to communicate with God? Do I put forth an effort to make time to do that? I'm challenged to have that same type of relationship with God in my prayer life. Drawing near is referenced in Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. Also, sitting in heavenly places is referenced in Ephesians 2, verse 6, and hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So those are just a couple of the ways or of things that I think about when I think about what is prayer and our communion with God. All right, here's another heading. How should we pray? We did just look at this example last week when Brother Mark was sharing about hypocrisy. But I think there's a really good lesson here, and I would like to draw a little different aspect of this out in Luke 18, where we have the Pharisee and the publican. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. And I want you to consider the heart and attitude that was in these two men. In Luke 18, verse 9, is where we're going to start. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So what I would like to draw from this is the publican and his attitude of humility, his attitude of need. He came realizing that he was undone before God. He needed something. And that's a challenge for me. We'll look at this some more a little bit later on when we talk about what our prayer should consist of. But can we come to God and not have any selfishness in our requests? It's easy to just be thinking of ourselves when we come and are praying to God. Here's something that is helpful. You know, if we know the word and we understand what God's will is, then it helps us to ask according to his will. And we'll read more about that later on as well. All right, and Matthew 6 also has some instruction for us as to how to pray. We'll look at a number of verses here in Matthew 6. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you another verse here in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. And again, just referring to that heart attitude of realizing who God is and who I am in comparison to him. And I don't want to be unbalanced with that because God does hear us. I don't want you to feel like God doesn't hear us. He delights to hear us. But he can't hear from a heart of that is lifted up and that doesn't recognize its own need. He can't hear from that. All right, so Matthew 6, we're going to start reading verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. We're going to pause there. We'll pick up the next few verses here on the next point. A couple things I want to point out here. We have there in verse 5, talking about those that pray to be seen of men. And he says they have their reward. And then he goes on in verse 6, and he tells us that when we pray, we should enter into a closet and we should shut the door. And you can take that literally. I think that's fine. What I get out of that picture is shutting out distractions. And we'll talk about these a little bit more in some of the hindrances, but when we commune and spend time with God, are we able to shut out the distractions? You know, there's a lot of things that can call for our attention, that can be a distraction, that can take away from that close fellowship and communion with God. I know I have found for myself that, you know, I know it's the right thing. I know I should pray to God. I know that I need to spend time with him in that way. And so I can just go ahead and do it. And then there's a distraction that comes, and I get derailed. Or maybe, you know, I kind of keep going, and yet my heart's not really in it. And that's what I'm talking about. Are we able to shut out distractions and to set aside a time to commune with God? And that can be in many different places and in many different ways. I don't want to put that in a box at all. I have had very wonderful times of communing with God driving down the road when I was younger. Would get up early in the morning. We had a cow that we milked, and it would take about a half hour. That was my time to commune with God as a young person. I had very good memories, very sweet times of fellowship with God in those during those times. Okay, and then another thing that's mentioned here, I don't really feel like this is an issue, and yet I think it's good for us to be aware of these things. He says, to use not vain repetitions. And I have heard in the past some that have prayed, and there's this word. Did they just use God's name over and over and over? You know, at the end of every phrase or every sentence. And I think about it this way. You know, it's a little bit like when we talk to each other. That's how we talk to God, or should talk to God. You know, we don't use each other's name. You know, I don't say, you know, hi, how are you, Joel? Did you have a good day today, Joel? And Joel, how was your week? You know, we don't always repeat and repeat and repeat the person's name. I'm not saying it's wrong, but just something to keep in mind, something to be aware of. God isn't looking for a flowery speech or many words. There was a little quote that said, the person who prays much in private will have short prayers in public. I thought that was an interesting thought. I think for me it's just simply a prayer that in a clear and a simple way, it makes our request known to God, like a man talking to his friend. And you come to your friend and you have a need. You don't make a whole bunch of elaborate words about this need that you have and how he, you know, could really help you. And we just get straight into the point. You know, people tend to get a little annoyed if you have all the extra words. Like, come on, just cut it out. Let's get to the point. I don't think God gets annoyed with us, but there is this instruction here to not use vain repetition. All right, next point here is, what should our prayers consist of? And we have here the example of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. I think this gives us a model. We could preach a whole sermon just out of that portion and all the things that are contained here. But I think it's good for us to consider that and try to model our prayers after that. Verse 9, we'll pick up here in Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that again starts out recognizing that God is in heaven, and that word hallowed is to consecrate, to give reverence and honor to. We ask for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. You can stop and think a moment about that. You know, how do things in heaven, how is God obeyed in heaven? You know, he says something and it happens. Is that how we are here on earth? God help us with those things. It's right to request for our daily bread. We shouldn't need to be worried and concerned about those things. Yes, they are, can be a burden to us. We should just simply ask God, give us this day our daily bread. I think that's a right thing. And he talks about forgiveness. Very important. We are forgiven as we forgive others. And to ask him not to lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. I think we live in a wicked world. We need God's help to daily overcome temptation. And it concludes again with exalting God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's a short account of a young man. I don't know this man, but his name was Oral Roberts. He says that his mother's advice is the best he has ever heard on the subject of prayer. He was very ill, a 17-year-old invalid, when his mother said, "Oral, you must give your life to God. Only God can help you now, and you must pray." "I don't know how to pray," the young man responded. "Oral, you don't have to know how to pray. Just talk to God out of your heart. Tell him what you feel inside. That is what it takes to pray." Oral Roberts later said, "After all these years, I have not been able to improve on my mother's advice. I can only add, talk to God as a person. Do not think of him as being hundreds of miles away, although you know he is everywhere at the same time. Think of him as the pictures that are in the Bible, ministering to the needs of others, healing, blessing little ones, dying on the cross, ascending to heaven. Viewing God in this regard helps to make it a personal experience." Have God personal in your life. He's right there with you. Talk to him out of your heart. Tell him what you feel inside. That's what it takes to pray. Our prayer should also include thanksgiving. Many times, I find it's easy to come before God and we have all these needs and we 1, 2, 3, 4, we lay out all these needs and poof, we go on our day. And we forget to thank him. We should be a thankful people. If we really understand and realize what God has done for us, there should be thanksgiving coming out of our hearts. Praise. Here's some things that they did in the Old Testament already. They recognized this. In Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 17, "And Mattaniah the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And Bakbukiah the second among his brethren, and Abda the son of Shemua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun." So here they had a man that was principal to begin thanksgiving in prayer. Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Then we can jump into the New Testament. There's several commandments for that too. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Colossians 4, verse 2 says much of the same thing. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So, let's not just rush in before God and dump out our requests and run on into our day without thanking God for his blessings to us. And again, let's remember we talk to him as though he were a friend, a person that we want to be close with, to express appreciation. All right, the next heading here is when or how often should we pray? We have here the account that we're familiar with in Luke 18, where there's this widow, and I'm going to just read it to you here quickly. Luke 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And so here we find there was an individual that had a need, and she knew someone that had power to help her with that need. And she didn't ask once, she didn't ask twice, she didn't ask three times. She came again and again and again and again. I don't know how often it was, it doesn't say. But it was often enough that this judge said, even though I'm not going to avenge her just, you know, because of who she is or anything like that, but I'm afraid if she keeps coming, she's going to wear me out. You know, this is wearing on me. Now, trust me, God doesn't get worn out, but he delights to see us in our earnestness and asking him and asking him. And we keep asking him, especially when we know it's his will. That's what I really believe he's referring to here, is something that we know is God's will. Maybe it's for the salvation of someone. Maybe it's for a need that you have in your life. Maybe it's a relationship struggle. It can be a whole host of things. But something that we know is God's will for my life, and we ask and we ask and we ask until we get an answer. Another verse in regard to that, also very familiar, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, says to pray without ceasing. And you might wonder, well, how is that possible? You know, it sounds like we should pray without stopping, right? All the time. I find for myself that it's an attitude. It's a heart and spirit of going throughout my day. Maybe we run into a difficulty. God, how do we handle this one? Maybe you see something that's beautiful. This time of year, there's, you know, trees everywhere. They're beautiful plants and things, new life springing forth. Is there worship that comes up in your heart to God in that? Thank you, God, for making these beautiful things for us to enjoy. Pray without ceasing. I don't profess to know how it is that sometimes God answers our prayers quickly, and other times a prayer may take a day or a week or a month or years to be answered. But here's just a few thoughts. When our faith is young, God may answer our prayers more quickly. But as we mature, he may take some more time, maybe stretching our faith, seeing what our level of commitment or persistence is. And I would also say that what we are asking for can also affect that. Maybe it's an area of personal growth, something you want to grow in. Or maybe it's a life-changing decision, something that, you know, is a big decision. And those will probably take longer than just a simple request. Maybe you are looking for something and you can't find it. And Lord, where is this thing? Help me to find it. I think there's a difference in the things that we're asking for. And I don't profess to understand all those things. God, some of this then comes back to the end of verse 8 there, where we read in Luke, it says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth." And I think some of this relates to our faith in God and how much we believe him. Do we believe that it is his will, and that if we're persistent, he will answer us? Another thing, when we pray, does God hear us? Who believes that God hears you when you pray? Right. We all believe that God hears us. Does he always answer right away? No. But he heard. So can we have faith in that? All right. Another heading here. Why don't we pray? Hindrances. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Quote from Spurgeon says, "Prayer will keep you from sinning, and sinning will keep you from prayer." I find that to be very true. If there's something in my life that I know is not right, and I'm not willing to look at it, not taking care of it, not taking it before God, that keeps me from praying. But the opposite is also true. When we spend time with God, it can help us to overcome and to be victorious. So, our faith in God and our belief of who He is directly affects how we pray to Him. Jesus often told people that according to their faith, it would be done to them. And I believe that's still in effect today. You know, we talk about our faith in God. Does it show in our prayer and our communion with Him? Is there a reflection there? Something else that I think is a hindrance, I find to be a hindrance, is just simply busyness, being overcharged. And granted, I think there are seasons that we go through that we are busier. I find it that way. But when I do then have more time, do I come back? Do I renew? And even in that busy season, do I have that attitude of praying without ceasing? You know, it was mentioned in the sins of Sodom, that was one of the sins, was their pride and fullness of bread. Those were two things that were mentioned. They had no needs. Abundance of idleness was also mentioned. I think that self-sufficiency and having lots of money can be a hindrance to us recognizing our need of God and spending time with Him in prayer. I think that those can be a hindrance. They don't have to be, but they definitely can be. Okay, the last point here. What are the rewards, the blessings, and the benefits of a prayer life that is consistent? Prayer is a very important part of the armor that is mentioned in Ephesians 6. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And if we consider in the armor, that it is one of the offensive weapons that we have. Most of the weapons listed there in the armor are defensive, that we use to protect ourselves. And we have the sword as being offensive, the word of God, and then prayer. And prayer refers to the mental preparation of our heart. You know, it's interesting that in warfare, the person that is the most mentally prepared usually wins, even if they are outnumbered. Not always, but most of the time. Many times, if you look in history, it's very clear that a small group of people that was mentally well prepared could often overcome a much larger army that was not organized, that was not prepared for the fight. And so I think prayer is one of the things that is extremely important as a part of our armor in having that mental preparedness. You know, if we as God's people have a right mental picture of working together, and we recognize that we have an adversary that is trying to get us separated internally, it will help us to check our responses and create a carefulness, not to push our own opinions. And in history, when people cried out to God with a sincere heart, He met their needs. Jacob and his sons, history would tell us that they became known throughout the land as the people whom God helped. They overcame armies of men much larger than themselves because the fear of God fell on these people. Matthew 6, what we read earlier, talks about the reward of those that pray in secret. And I don't know what all that is. Some of those we may find out in heaven. And we shouldn't be praying just for reward, just to be clear, but there is a reward to those that seek God. I think of a verse that says that they that seek me early shall find me. That is another one of those rewards. We talked about this earlier. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God hears us when we pray. Just quickly here, a little illustration of another thought about our relationships. You may have seen this before. It's often used as husband and wife relationship, but let's say we have God up here and we have each one of us down here. And if each of us is seeking towards God, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. See that? The closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. So I would like to suggest that if all of us are seeking God and drawing towards Him, it will draw us together because we're all seeking for the same thing. When we have that consistent prayer life, the chain of our walk with God will be strong, with no broken links. Here's a verse to take with you in closing. Jude 1, verse 20, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," verse 21, "keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And so again, this prayer becomes a vital part of our link in our walk with God of looking for eternal life. So God help us in these things. I find myself very challenged, but I desire to move forward and to grow in this area, spending time with God. But God bless all of you.